bringing the light of Jesus Christ into a sin-darkened world. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. Hello, my name is Ben Fordham, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank you for tuning in. As we look to the Word of God today, I would like to draw your attention again to the book of Isaiah and chapter 8 as we look at verses 1 through 12. The beginning of this chapter gives us a picture of the near fulfillment of the prophecy in the last chapter. We are introduced to the longest name in the Bible, and one of the most fun to pronounce, Maher HaLashbaz. This son of the prophet Isaiah would be the embodiment of the promise to do away with the confederacy of Israel or Ephraim and Syria very quickly. God, it seems, is not swayed by the number of people who conspire against him, and he will defend his people against those who make such associations or confederacies. We need not fear the largest army or confederacy of nations that will come against the church. The Lord is able to raise up more. He may deal with them with larger armies or with natural disasters, disease, or some other means, but he will always deal with them. There will always be those who conspire against the Lord and his people. But the Lord will break all of these kinds of associations. Let us heed the warning given by the text, lest we fall into a common temptation of the people of God. We often lack patience in waiting on God to do what he has promised to do in his time. We, in some ways, determine that we are going to help God. We may do so with what we think is the best of intentions. But when we do this, we are begging for the same consequences as those who would associate and conspire against him. Think about Abraham and Sarah trying to help God. They were promised a son, and Sarah arranged for a handmaid to be given to Abraham, and Ishmael was the result. In some ways, we are still seeing the results of the plans they made play out today. God has a perfect plan, and God's timing is just as perfect as his plan. God delivers on his promises and deals with those who would conspire to do away with his purposes. On whose side will we be found? Are we siding with God or siding with man? Are we trusting in God or trusting in man? What may we learn from these things? Let us look to the text.
Isaiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1.
Moreover, the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal-Hashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived, and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shalal-Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels, and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck, and stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken into pieces. And give ear, all of ye far off, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. The text. Verse 1 begins by saying, Moreover, the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Hashbaz. The Lord has warned Ahaz and Judah of judgment by Assyria. Here, God tells Isaiah to get on record, presumably so it may be read, the things regarding his future son, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. The long name will bear record of the promise of God and the speed with which he will deal with Israel and Syria. Literally, within the next 2 to 3 years. The boy will be a living embodiment of the promise of God. He will be a living example that God is with them. In verse 2, we find faithful witnesses being called to bear record. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let everything be established. That verse seems to come to mind quite readily as we hear this. This is going to be one of the most public, documented conceptions, births, and names ever. These men bore record with Isaiah, and their record was true. Verse 3 goes on to tell us, And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, Call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. The woman participating in this sign is clearly Isaiah's wife. She was not a virgin, according to the scripture, as we do read in the previous chapter of another son of Isaiah. And the previous chapter tells us that the usage of the Hebrew word in the previous chapter can mean both young woman or virgin. This is not to dissuade us from the virgin birth of Christ. This is to tell us that there is a near application of it, and the word used can be used in both contexts. The Bible is indeed perfect. There was a real event of conception here, and a real child born. God told Isaiah to give his son a special name, which was documented by witnesses. Maher Shalal Hashbaz means speed to take the prey and spoil. Again, he would be a living evidence or embodiment of the promise of deliverance. Verse 4 says, Before the child shall have knowledge to cry, My father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. The time frame allows for the time from the word given to Isaiah until the child is of age to be able to articulate my mother and my father and understand what is being said when he does so, which fits the time frame of the previous chapter and fulfills the sign given quite well. Assyria, under Tiglath-Pileser, would destroy the alliance between Ephraim and Syria. Verses 5 and 6 continue with another word from the Lord. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, For as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in Rezin and Remaliah's son. Siloam or Shiloah is on the east side of the city of Jerusalem, to the southeast of the site of the temple, and its waters flow into the valley of Jehoshaphat. The name in the New Testament we find in John chapter 9 literally means sent or sending. And this was probably given to the pool and the fountain of Siloah or Siloam because the waters were sent or made to pass through a subterranean passage or aqueduct. Their gentle flow and supply of water seemed to be emblematic of the living waters supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel refused to make peace with Judah and refused the Lord as their supply of life and strength. Instead of peace with God and their brethren, like this supply of water of Siloah, they made alliance with Syria. So instead of peaceful waters, we will find overflowing and turbulent waters of Assyria. When we read verse 7, this is exactly what we expect to find and what we get. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. They refused the gentle water of Shiloah, so instead the river of the Assyrians would overflow and drown them. The capital of Assyria was at Nineveh, which is situated on the shore of the Tigris, an emblem of a wild flowing river. The prophets used this symbol of a flood as a symbol of an overwhelming force or army. This is done in several passages of Scripture, and we'll see it later in Isaiah when describing the overflowing of Babylon against Judah and the overflowing of the Persian armies against Babylon. Verse 8 shows us that Judah would be judged as well, but preserved. And he shall pass through Judah, he shall overflow and go over, he shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Isaiah is being shown that Judah will be flooded as well, right up to the neck. But the head, Jerusalem, will not be covered, but preserved. This looks forward to Sennacherib and the events of the siege of Jerusalem in the days of Hezekiah. In those days to come, God would turn out to be the help of Judah. Hence the use of Emmanuel in describing Judah itself. This is God looking upon his people, but seeing them through Emmanuel, or seeing them through Christ, even as he does with us, with his elect. Verse 9 warns us, "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces."
Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces.
The threefold warning here says that we will, if we gird ourselves, we will be broken in pieces. If we gird ourselves up in an association, one with another, we will be broken in pieces. This is reminiscent of Proverbs 11:21, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished." The threefold warning against leagues or associations and trusting in men tells us emphatically that the result is going to be that we are broken in pieces. Verse 10, the Lord says, "Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us." Despite the effort of men to conspire together and make war against the people of God, all their efforts will come to nothing. God is with us, therefore we should fear him and not man. Isaiah 8 verse 11 says, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying," in verse 12, "Say ye not a confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Isaiah is warned not to approve of any confederacy that the people will make. The prophet or the minister is not to fear what the people fear. There should be far more faith in him and far less fear than any of the people. This fear of a confederacy would turn out to cause the desire for a confederacy. In this way, we see the judgment of God. If we look upon men and fear what they are doing, and we react in kind, we are asking for judgment in kind. God, it seems, is ready to judge them, and then we decide we want to go into the same sin to retaliate against them, and so God will bring judgment upon us. Thus, if we step back into the scriptures we just read, we see those that are making associations against Judah completely drowned, and then Judah preserved only up to the head, so that God's purposes for Judah might be completed. Some lessons for us. Though hand join in hand, there is a movement that assumes might makes right, and that there is strength in numbers. So if we want to get things done, it is majority rule, right? By man's reasoning, by man's feeble reasoning, this is surely true. There are many who join hand in hand to protest things these days. Some of these things are surely worthy of protestation. Others stand in stark contrast to the Word of God. Be sure of this. For those that stand in stark contrast to the Word of God, though hand be joined in hand, the wicked will not go unpunished. There is no strength that we can find in numbers. If we oppose God, no matter how many alliances we make with other men who oppose God, we will be found standing against the Lord, and then we will be found broken in pieces, not standing at all. The issue for Judah was their fear of the alliance made between Syria and Ephraim against them. This fear drove Ahaz to attempt the same sort of alliance, when it should have driven him and Judah straight into the arms of the Lord. They wanted none of him, nor his help, to resolve their problem. Do we do this? We have the world against us, and we want to use the methods of the world to deal with the world that has come against us. We have forgotten that we have Emmanuel, God with us. Why have we not turned to the Lord for our help? His hand is outstretched still. Why would we not put our hands into His and join ourselves to Him instead of putting our hand in hand with those who oppose Him? We have grown up with a majority rule mentality. But there is not a democratic process with the Lord. His vote is the only one that counts. We may band together and try to decide all manner of things, but ultimately to band together against the Lord and His anointed is to beg to be broken in pieces and brought to nothing. Let us repent of another notion while we are here talking about this one. There is a thought that we might justify ourselves and our actions based on doing this or that, quote, for the Lord, when we have grown impatient. More trouble has entered the world due to a lack of patience in waiting on the Lord than we can possibly measure. Let us be sure that we are doing His will, His way, in His time before we join hand in hand to, quote, help the Lord. This is not a call for inaction, but a call for prudence and waiting for sure guidance from the Holy Spirit. The consequences of trusting men instead of God are very dire. We may find we end up drowning the men we put our trust in and getting neck deep in the water ourselves. Meher Shalal Hashbaz and the living embodiment of prophecy. This passage of Scripture has another wonderful name and lesson that points to Christ Himself. The prophecy given in chapter 7 was this: Therefore the Lord shall give himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good.
For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both of her kings. We understand from what we've read in chapter 8 that the near fulfillment of this was the young woman, Isaiah's wife, bearing a son whose name declared the speedy taking of prey or spoil. This was done at the hand of Assyria. We see that Maher-shalal-Hash-Baz was the child of promise that would embody the prophecy given by the Lord to prove that God was with Judah and that God would deliver them. We also know that the far fulfillment is very clear. Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 tell us thus, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." The Lord Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the same prophecy among so many others. Indeed, he is the living Word, the Word made flesh. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. He is literally Emmanuel, God with us. There are several other prophecies, perhaps 100 or more, that Jesus is the fulfillment of. What we glean from that is that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the word that is given. I believe it's Psalm 40 where the testimony is given that, "Lo, in the book, behold, it is written of me." And it really says, "Lo, the book is written of me," or "book written of me." The word of God is a collection of the promises of God to his people that instruct his people for sure, but show us that Jesus Christ is our deliverer. There are shadows and types and figures all throughout the Old Testament that point to the deliverance of Christ, that promise the deliverance of Christ. And Christ comes on the scene, the Word made flesh. He becomes man to deliver his people. He was given to deliver his people from their sins. And in due time, Christ came and, being man, lived a perfect life, died the perfect death, and died and was buried and rose again. And he did this in due season and in due time for the ungodly. I think we need to be reminded of that once in a while. Jesus Christ came in due time, and in due time he died for the ungodly, so says Romans chapter 5. Just as the Lord was faithful in delivering Judah, even though they were unfaithful, the Lord faithfully delivered on his promises to us, who were also very unfaithful. Jesus Christ is pictured here with Maher-shalal-Hash-Baz, and Jesus Christ is the living embodiment of the promises. He is the living Word of God. He is the Word of God made flesh, and he came and dwelt among us. What are we to do? First, we are to act upon the Word of God. The words put before you and I tell us in the Scriptures of Christ. They testify to him on every page. They are given to us to teach us who he is and who we should be in response. We have not been given these words simply to store them away, to put this on a shelf in case of emergency, and only bring them out when absolutely necessary. They are not to be abstracted, put off to some place that's far in the heavenlies, or far out of reach from us or those who are to hear it. But these words are given to us to instruct us and disciple us. They are given to us to do that here and now, right where we are. We are to act upon the word of God. Isaiah followed the clear instructions of the Lord and showed the people that the promise of the Lord is true. Isaiah was instructed to bring forth Maher Shalal Shabbaz and record it, and that is done on the very pages in the very scriptures we just read. He followed the instructions of the Lord and did what he was instructed to do. Another instruction was given to Isaiah to not do certain things. He was instructed not to make associations, and he followed those instructions of the Lord as well. He himself would not make the associations, but he was also really taught not to affirm such associations. We cannot affirm certain things. If we affirm them, we are taking part in them. We are associating ourselves with the sins that we are affirming, and we are condemning those that we affirm. He followed the instructions of the Lord by not doing what he was commanded not to do. These things seem so simple when we read them this way. Do what you are called and instructed to do. Omit what you are called and instructed to omit. Yet we still stumble in unbelief. We must remember that God is with us, which is astounding considering how often we do not want to be with him. Second, we need to be thankful that God is faithful to his word. It is instructive that God says that because he changes not, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because he is faithful to his word and changes not, we are not consumed. That kind of love, the holy love of God, should wreck us, break us, and lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we indeed might live for him. Bringing the light of Jesus Christ into a sin-darkened world, this is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study. The Primitive Baptists who bring you this program each week do so with the following conviction. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is our guide for what we are to believe, and it is our guide for what we are to do. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he is to be followed as Lord and Savior. And we believe that his salvation is a free gift of God's sovereign grace, not dependent on any work that we do, but wholly dependent on his finished work done on our behalf. We present this weekly Bible study based on the premise of Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you would like to contribute to the furtherance of this program, then please send your donation to this address. The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Or, if you would like to send a question or comment to us, you can also send your correspondence to that address. We also have a website where you can access our programs and other helpful information. It can be found at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and all lowercase letters. Again, www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Until next week, this is Ben Fordham praying that God will light your world.